Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all of my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Wednesday. I believe today is the 5th or the 6th. The 6th, March 6th, 2013. And here in New Hampshire, we have a combination of sun, rain, snow, and, well, plain old cold. I have spring fever. I'm looking forward to changing the clocks this weekend. And finding my shorts because I know they're somewhere. So lots of exciting things happening. Tomorrow, if you have an opportunity, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I've been asked to be a guest on You Smile Radio. And you can find information about that either on my Facebook page or on blogtalkradio.com/you, just as in the letter. Smile is something that I think everybody should do. And they're going to chit-chat with me tomorrow at 4 Eastern Standard Time. Next week, I have been blessed to have Bob Berg, author of The Go-Giver. And it's a little book about a powerful business idea. And it's actually a terrific little book, and I highly recommend that you go out and get it. I'm almost through with it. It's whimsical, creative, and the author's voice is just amazing. So that is The Go-Giver by Bob Berg, and he'll be on next Wednesday. Major announcement to make. I am partnering with La Belle Bridal in Somersworth, New Hampshire, and we're going to cohabit his space. I'm opening up a store called Rustique Quality Casuals. So the grand opening is next week. So if you're here in Somersworth, New Hampshire, and you're looking for some beautiful quality casual clothes, stop by, say hi, because we will be official. And last but not least, my weekly shout out this week goes to Kara's Restaurant in Dover, New Hampshire. They have the best customer service and just delicious food. It's an Irish pub located in downtown Dover. If you get a chance, stop by, say hi to the team. Very, very wonderful place to be. Food for thought. We have Rebecca Norrington on today. She is a radio host and quite the personality. Just love having her on, of Reality Spirituality. And if you haven't had a chance to check her out, please do. Her shows are fun, and she just bursts through the radio vibes with her energy. So let's say good morning to Miss Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Rusty. And congratulations on the business. It sounds really, really nice. Casual clothes.
I'm very picky about my clothes. And so I figured we'll try it and see how that works. Never put all your eggs in one basket, as I grew up to believe.
I love that, and I'm very particular also, and I've been wanting to come up with some ideas to clothes to wear around the house. I mean, really good feel good clothes around the house. Sounds good.
So I have to tell you, I wanted to throw this at you, and let you run with it, because we're very similar creatures. Last night I had the strangest dream, and one of my companies is a marketing company, and I work for Cabot Creamery, the world's best cheddar, and it's my favorite job. It's just wonderful. And so I'm sampling cheese, and somehow there was a goat involved. And I end up with this goat who loves me and wants to curl up on my lap and just needed a lot of attention. And we end up on a train, and I have this goat that's very, very dog-like. And I wake up, and I'm going, that is the weirdest dream. So I'm working and on a train, which I haven't been on in years, and this goat. And the goat was really the big piece. So I looked it up yesterday morning around 7 to find out what symbol goat means. Well, if it's a happy goat, then you're coming into wealth and stability and growth. And if it's a bad goat situation, then mean people are coming into your life. 14 minutes later, I get a phone call for another marketing contract. UPS stopped by my house 5 times to deliver 5 different books for me to read to interview on my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed up until 10:30 last night waiting for a publisher's clearinghouse.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, bring it. Bring it. This is great. So it was a very exciting day, and I just wish, you know, everybody could have dreams of happy goats because evidently it worked.
Wow.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I love that. Well, I'm, you know, my son is really into dreams and analyzing dreams and finding out what dreams are, and I just haven't really gotten into that yet. Not that I don't want to, it's just that I just haven't yet. So it's fascinating to discover. And he was even saying that you can really create your own dream before you go to sleep.
Absolutely. It's part of manifestation too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe that. But it sounded like a happy goat just by hearing your story.
I know. It's the strangest dream. And then just all of these, you know, what some people would think of as coincidence, which I don't believe in. I believe everything comes to you as it's meant to.
Yes.
It just started happening. It was incredibly busy. But I had to share that story.
Well, I love that story.
Goat story.
And I also want to say about that goat story, I don't believe that you would ever get a bad goat in your dream. You're just not going to attract any bad goats.
No, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
I just thought it was pretty interesting, the whole
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm. Well, nay to you.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about life, Rebecca. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I'm excited because, well, every day is an exciting day, but I'm mm-hmm. launching my new website, and it's www.RebeccaNorrington.com. And basically, I'm offering sessions, private sessions, information, the archives of the show, and my whole mission, my whole passion is to share with people how to maintain and, more importantly, sustain happiness regardless of your circumstances. How do we do that? How do we stay happy and centered and peaceful when everything around us is falling apart, or maybe we have a bad goat dream? You know, yeah. So that's basically what I'm all about. You know, when I was younger, I wished for 2 things. I wished to live to my potential, and number 2, to be happy. And we all know that when we ask, it's always given. So this happiness thing is like my number one priority, and I'm really talking about an internal happiness. And when you lock in on that, and when that becomes a priority, and you know, everything else just falls into place. And I would like to invite your callers, if anyone's listening live, to call in with any kind of issues or questions or comments, and we can just get right into it.
All right. Well, she
mm-hmm.
opened up that line.
Mm-hmm.
The number here to call in to talk with Rebecca is 347-205-9443. And give us your website, Rebecca.
It is www.RebeccaNorrington, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Norrington, it's one word, NORRINGTON.com, RebeccaNorrington.com. And my reality spirituality show, which is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can find that show also on Blog Talk Radio. It's www.realityspirituality.com. www.thebeautyhub.com. So that's, those are all my plugs right now, but I'm really passionate about dissecting and talking about our everyday life issues and our everyday challenges, and just to discover and just breaking everything down to its least common denominator to discover why we're not as happy as we could be.
So what do you, give us an idea of what that means to you.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Let me give you something that just recently happened.
Let me sink my teeth into it.
Yes, my the universe gives me examples all the time. Yeah, I mean, curveballs. Yeah, they throw curveballs at me when I'm not looking, usually at the back of the head. Sometimes it's a curveball, sometimes it's, you know, Nerf ball, sometimes it's a baseball bat. But
those cosmic 2x4s.
yes, exactly. And the challenge for me is, one of my challenges is, no matter what happens, to look for the good. Let me just give you an example of what happened about 3 weeks ago. I made a decision. I was being treated. Now, don't tell anybody, but I was being treated for toe fungus.
Oh, toe, that's pretty fungus. Common, actually. Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, I found out that it is common, but I believe me, after all these years of getting pedicures regularly, years and years, I think of myself a very hygienic person, and for the cosmetologist to say you have toe fungus, I mean, I just went into a funk. I wanted to jump off the highest building. I mean that was just my mindset. I'm saying all this to say that the doctor that treated me did not treat me, aggressively. So a year later, even though I was being treated by him five times, six times, seven times with these creams and this topical, he wasn't treating me aggressively. And I still was tested a year later with this toe fungus.
Now, don't they have a pill that you can take for that now?
And that is where I'm going with this. Well, I changed doctors. Got the pill, but my ego was still pissed off at this doctor who dragged my treatment out for over a year.
Yeah.
And so what I did was, ooh, I sued him in small claims court. I sued him in small claims court for all of my co-payments and all of my medication that over a year did not work, okay? And I represented myself. And guess what happened? Guess what the universe did? I lost. I lost because and my lesson was this winning and losing and these external events cannot, but for me. I don't want anything external to affect my inner vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the judge looked at me and he says, well, he didn't do anything that was negligent here. He just prolonged the treatment for a year and a half. And in actuality, it's never really about the treatment. It was never about the doctor. It was never about the court case. It was about the lesson that I needed to learn. And to be happy and to be okay with the decision, even though, in my opinion, it wasn't just. And that takes me to my next point. This thing about justice, I used to have this thing about justice and what's right versus what's wrong. And I was really big on it, the underdog, just, what's just. And I've discovered that the whole concept of justice is not universal. It's not a universal concept. It's a man-made concept. And so the universe is shaking me and saying, hey, if you want to be peaceful, if you want to, align with us, if you want to walk the path, you shed all these man-made concepts. So that was my lesson.
So the man-made concepts would be...
This
concept of justice versus the natural order of things?
The concept of justice versus, everything is in order. Because the universe, there is no justice in the universe. I mean, there's what happens, I'm talking about with animals and with circumstances, tsunamis, or it just happens.
I think there's definitely an ebb and flow, a natural order to things. But it's interesting to distinguish the natural order of things versus justice. That's a neat thought.
Well, listen, you have these animals in the wild, and the mother sometimes eats the baby, and the father eats the baby, and the weakest, I think it's the penguins, the weakest one. If she has more than one or two, if she has more than one, then the weakest one is just left to die because they're weak, and so that's not justice. I'm saying in a man's view, but in the
right.
universe. Yes, that's what happens. That's basically what I'm saying.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about your new endeavor. You're going to coach people?
Yes, I am
Very
offering
cool.
Private sessions, and I have listeners now all throughout the world. And it's funny because I've been on this path, this journey, for decades, but the last month I just finally put together a website, and the reason why is because it just wasn't time. You know, things don't happen before it's time, and now it's time. Sharing, there's a lot of people that have all have come to me throughout my life and with issues, with problems, circumstances that they've needed help with. It doesn't even matter what the topic is, and I cover all topics, and so that's what I'm going to be doing.
That's very cool. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
I think my belief is the universe unfolds as it unfolds, and sometimes we try to push it, just being human.
Mm-hmm.
We try to grab at it and push it and demand, and yet it still just unfolds when it's going to unfold. There's no concept of time for the universe. There's concept of time for us.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Trying to distinguish that in endeavors it can be a challenge. So what would you coach, or how would you coach somebody in that, that cycle that we get into, because time, I'm going to be 40, I'm going to be whatever, and I'm not where I'm supposed to be. That human nature that we have, and we're trying to push so hard to grab at this timeless unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How would you coach someone through that?
Specifically, I would say, first of all, I would ask the person, what is your priority? What do you want more than anything else? Do you want to achieve something? Do you want to, do you want a title? Do you want money? What is it that you really, really want? And that usually, and I usually don't deal with general things, only because there's so many specifics that are so interesting. But generally, I would ask them, what is your priority? Now, if your priority is peace, if your priority is to be happy regardless of your circumstances, then there's going to be a gradual letting go of these man-made, and I still go back to this man-made concept. It's a man-made concept to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man-made concept to make money. And, the Tibetans in India, they're walking around in a diaper, and they have nothing, and they're happy as clams. So
right.
all of this conditioning, in my opinion, is all thrown on us, unknowingly and unwillingly. It's kind of like, for me, it's letting go of this man-made conditioning, letting go, and being comfortable. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you comfortable sitting on your, excuse the language, sitting on your ass on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and doing absolutely nothing with your day?
I have to force myself to do that for an hour. I'm a busybody. I have laundry monsters and dish monsters and books to read and, you know, a couple of companies that I own and a full-time single parent. So sitting is very difficult.
Well, when I say, listen, forget the child because the child has to be taken care of. That, you know, that has to be. But the other things, do they really have to be done?
That was my New Year's resolution, was to really accept that I can let those things go. That's been the largest challenge I've gone through in a couple of years.
Well, let me share with me, I mean, if I wasn't productive, if I wasn't doing something productive, A, I was either lazy, I was wasting time, countless labels. And I have to say that I could sit on my rear end Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It didn't happen overnight. But see, the universe, whatever you resist and whatever you don't want to feel and whatever you dislike, that's what they're going to throw in your face. That's what I've learned. And
well, you're attracting what you don't like by focusing on what you don't like.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So.
So the being at peace with just yourself and doing nothing, and I mean nothing except for take care of that angel of a little girl, doing nothing is really a very spiritual act, and being okay with doing nothing. Now, I'm not saying you do nothing for the rest of your life, but I'm just talking about myself. To get to the point where I could do nothing and be okay with it was huge for me.
Yeah, and I think that step in itself for anyone, because we have spent our entire lives being conditioned to work harder and
to do something.
Strive for more. And
To do something.
What was the 80s saying I grew up with? Oh, God, what was it?
Work hard for the money?
Well, that's one. But,
money.
Oh, shoot, it was an exercise. So you remember when the aerobicizing came out and, shoot, if it doesn't hurt.
Oh, yes, I know. No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain, that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. But we're conditioned with that from small children, you know, throughout our whole lives. It's beaten into us.
That's
right. Whether it's from school, you got to work harder, get better grades, and then it sits in us as a fear-based, ego-fueled concept. So when you get to a point in your life where you're like, whoa, I get it. I do need to take a break. I do need to take better care of myself. I do need to focus on downtime. It's an inner conflict. It's like, the Trojan War for most people. What kinds of steps do you recommend people who are in that inner conflict to kind of slowly, I mean, you certainly can't jump out of it because they go into shock. I tried that.
Yeah.
Switching.
Well, you start twitching, you start shaking, you start sweating, you start, you know, jerking around, you start having fits. I get seizures. The thing is, number one, you have to really start saying to yourself and believing that you are okay and everything is fine. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to be loved. You don't have to do anything to be complete. That's number one. You kind of have to, you know, change your perspective. And you're right. This is very, very slow. And I love lessons because this, for me, believe me, it didn't take months. It took probably over a year to get it. They forced me to sit on my rear end to do nothing. until I was okay with it. And so you asked me, small steps. This is what I would say. I would say each day, just start really small, half hour, 15 minutes, and just do nothing. You start off small, mm-hmm. and then you build it.
And for me, my recommendation is in that 15 minutes, you start practicing meditation and centering.
No, don't do anything.
That's me.
I said don't do anything.
Turn off the brain.
No, I'm teasing you, but...
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting,
cool.
Interesting. Do you know how
good... go ahead.
I was going to say, do you know how good people would feel if they really believed that they didn't have to do anything? I mean, just sit with that. I don't have to do anything.
It's extremely uncomfortable.
Oh, Jesus.
As Amy's multitasking in the background.
Amy, are you on?
Yep, she just joined us. She was
running
a little late today.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I remember Amy because last time we talked, she was so open and honest, sharing her issues with the family. I just love that you were just so honest and open with us. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that I can at least use that to help others relate and know that they're not the only ones that have those type of problems, and that there are ways to get through it,
mm-hmm.
and have the results that you want. I mean, it's not always going to be exactly the way you want it, and as soon as you let go of that concept that it has to be exactly the way you want it,
mm-hmm.
And you start compromising. That's the whole name of the game is compromising, and being okay with what you have. That's the biggest lesson, at least it was for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and accepting the relationship as it's evolved into today. I still have a relationship with them. It's just different.
That's right.
That's all.
And the most important thing is that nothing does stay the same. Nothing stays the same. And this change, this evolution of everything is okay. See, we're not taught that things change. No, we're taught love me forever. No, things change. The universe, all of it changes. But we're
to change, or we have to adapt to, you know, our spouse's changes, and you know, that's the thing. I think that it really damages a lot of relationships. Is they're not accepting of change.
That's right. This is one of my favorite sayings. It's learn to love uncertainty. Learn to embrace and be comfortable. That's what it is. Be comfortable with uncertainty. Be comfortable with growth. Be comfortable with change. Be comfortable, Rusty, with doing nothing on the couch.
Working on it.
Okay. Yeah.
I also think that meditation, you know, not to stick it up for Rusty, but
mm-hmm.
The meditation, though, to me, is actually sitting and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, even though I may use some visuals, you know, you're taught in meditation to just do nothing but breathe, you know?
Yes.
So to me, meditation is doing nothing.
You know that, and that's another really, really important point. We are all as different. I've said this. I keep saying it, but we are all as different as our fingerprints. We're so different, and what works for me, and it might not work, or it might be a little different edge or different twist for you. But whatever you need to get to that point is great, whatever anybody needs. And that's why I love these shows, because we all share what works for us, and then people can put their little twist on it
and
so I love that you say meditation is means doing nothing. I love that. For me, it's, you know, it's a lot of work. See, Rusty. What?
Amy, you're kind of muffled, hon. Can you?
Yeah.
What did you say?
I had it on speaker because I just had a massage and I don't want to crank my neck.
Ooh, my favorite, a massage.
Yeah. I have a friend that's a student, and she likes to practice with me.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
What's up?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Rusty's due for one from me, so.
Oh.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I just haven't heard from her.
Well, she's so busy doing things, you know.
I know.
She's so busy.
I am. I'm always doing things. So let's go back to the inner work for happiness. Evolving into a happy person. For me, 99% happy. My license plate even says happy. Constantly grinning, constantly. there's a lot of joy. And I focus on that. But I also know that I've had to work on that over the years and really let go of those worries and fears and criticisms and self-judgments and the negative thinking. And, you know, that's what's made me successful to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But what kinds of things do you recommend for people to work on that inner happiness? Because once you grab onto your inner happiness, you glow. So
yes,
you radiate, and
yes.
It's a beautiful feeling, and it's a beautiful gift to give other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your steps?
Well, I agree. It is beautiful, and it's very contagious. And when you walk in the room, anybody that has this internal peace, when you walk in the room, you actually shift the energy. You actually shift energy and enhance the energy. But this is what I've always said. Okay, I'll give you this example, this story. So let's pretend, and this isn't real, but let's pretend that someone has broken into your house, and this burglar, and they don't have any good. There's no good intentions here. And you wake up, and they're in your room, and they're trying to steal your jewelry, and you're startled, and they get this pillow. They get a pillow to try to smother you because they don't want you to, you know, they basically want to muff you out. Well, I'm just throwing it out. It's just a story. They've got this pillow over your face, and they're pushing it down, and you can't breathe, and you're struggling, and you can't breathe, and you're struggling, and you're struggling to breathe, and you're struggling to live, and all of this. Can you imagine your the urgency to breathe? Can you imagine that urgency?
Yeah.
So that urgency, and I say this, you have to have that same kind of urgency to be happy. And if you don't, then you can be happy with certain things and certain things you're not. But the commitment, it's a commitment, unwavering commitment to be happy. And I'm still talking about this internal peace. So first you have to make the commitment. You have to really, really want it more than you want anything else in your life. Anything else in your life. And that's where you start. And when you make that commitment, know that it's a commitment that is going to take you, like you said, Rusty, to a place. I mean, honestly, it's heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is heaven to be to feel this way and know and trust that everything is in order and trust that nothing external can shake it, or it cannot be taken from you. And then, of course, but the commitment starts, and then, of course, it's small steps, and it's just shedding. It's a shedding of these conditioned thoughts. It's a shedding of a lot of things. It's a changing of your perspective. It's a relaxing. It's a breathing. It's knowing that everything is in order, and it's knowing that everything that's happened to you, there is something good in it. And everything that will happen to you, there is something good in it. You just have to look for it. So we're conditioned to look for what's wrong, what's wrong. No, 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 no. What's right? What's right? It's just a small shift.
And it's back to focusing on what you truly desire, and you're going to attract that. If you're focusing on what's wrong, you're going to attract wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we talk about this almost every show, so... Mm-hmm. Just wanting to remind our long-term listeners, and for those of you who are new, what you think is what you become, what you are. So
that you create.
You want to be happy, be happy. Even if you have to force yourself, I always
fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it until you make it. You know, pretend that you put duct tape on your cheeks so that they're smiling and a permanent grin, even if you're feeling completely miserable. That's how you begin unraveling, untangling yourself from yourself, as I say.
Mm-hmm.
Another part too. Excuse me.
Hold on, Amy. So call us to join the conversation on life and happiness and untangling yourself from yourself. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Rebecca.
The number here is 347-205-9443. Go ahead, Amy.
The other piece, too, is being happy. That's part of it that I'm just now discovering, is... The company you keep, the people that you're around, that also is going to change.
Yes.
It's going to change big time.
And it needs to change, because if you're hanging around with people that are self-destructive or aren't willing to take that commitment, as you were talking about earlier, to be happy, then your surroundings are going to reflect, you know, it's going to be part of your energy. So in order to be happy, hang around with the people like you want to be like. It's not like you're, you know, stalking them or anything, but, you know, seek out those people that you feel are happy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the other piece. A lot of people, I want to be happy, and they're really committed in their own mind, but if they don't change their surroundings to meet that, then it's going to be a lot harder.
Yes, I agree totally, totally. I have to say that I don't have any friends.
That's hard to believe.
Well, let's say this. There are very few people that are close to me, and I'm saying that because there's so many negative. There's so many people that want to talk about yesterday. There's so many people that want to talk about other people. There's so many people that want to talk about the news. There's so many people I'm just not interested. I'm not interested. So I'm really attracted to and I draw people that are really cool. With one of my very good friends I've had, you know, for 20 years or so, but I was meeting some girls at the coffee shop last week, and when I say friends, I mean people that, you know, I call every day. I'm not talking about acquaintances of people that I know. I know tons of people, but real close acquaintances, and I saw them at. I was just driving down the street, and I saw a group of my people from the gym at the coffee shop, and they were sitting outside. And my very close friend, I pulled over and I stopped and I sat with him. Well, she had somewhere to go. and she had somewhere to go within 30 seconds of me coming, you know, coming to sit and chat. But see, that's okay. I can see her anytime. I mean, I didn't have this, well, why don't you stay longer? I just got here. That's another thing about being a bit about being happy. What other people do, what other people say, you can't take it personally.
Right.
You just cannot. I mean, you can, but you're subtracting from your happiness if you do. You can't take it personally because people have their own issues, their own circumstances, and it's not personal. It's really not. Even if they're angry, it's not personal. They're angry because of something internal. They're not angry. They can point the finger. They can say it's because of you, but it never is. It's never about the other person. That's my opinion.
Yes, and I agree with that.
Well, and it's, you know, as I have a whole chapter in my book in regards to your emotional bank. If you treat your emotional bank like you treat your savings account or your checking account, you're going to want to write checks to people who are going to deposit checks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're writing checks to negative people, they're not going to deposit anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving you anything of value or quality or sustenance, life, growing water, you know. So just letting those people go, it's, you end up filling your bank more without withdrawing to depletion.
I also want to, I would like to add to that too. The thing is about letting people go, there's a way to let people go. This is me. There's a way for me to let people go. These people that I've let go, they don't even realize that they're gone.
Right.
Yeah, if you ask them, they would not. So it's a letting go, but also an accepting that this is the best they can do. It really is.
And I just experienced that, and it's so true.
Yes. And so you look at them the way God looks at them. You look at them the way the universe looks at them. You're a loser. You're negative. I used to do it like that too. But now it's accepting and embracing because these people are where they are because they don't know any better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that a step further in my own personal, professional opinion, thought, emotion. Not accepting their negativity is one thing. And for some people, I mean, there's certain people, and Amy can testify, there's certain people in my life that I can't even be in the same room because they're just seething with negative, like dripping with negative stuff. And it really is, you can feel it. It's gross. But on the other hand, my lesson that I am learning is compassion, to see through without owning their behavior or their negativity or responsibility, without allowing their criticisms and judgments to enter my emotional bank, but still having compassion for them.
Interesting. It's very interesting. It's very interesting, but I'm going to throw this out. There's a few things that you said. Compassion is a man-made emotion. It's not really universal. It's man-made. And so, because the universe doesn't really have compassion, the universe just is. But the other thing I want to say is you said you can't even be in the same room with them. Then, in my humble opinion, then they're more powerful than you are.
There you go.
I can be in the same room with, I'm not going to stay in the same room, but I can be in the same room with, look, Rusty, you're light. You are light. And so what happens when light comes into a dark room?
There's no dark.
That's right. So I believe that you could stay in the same room. All you have to do is just think of yourself as Teflon and not as sponge.
I probably could, but it's just such an energy drain for me. It's an energy drain.
Okay.
So you just got to put that bubble around you so nothing can come in and nothing. I mean, you don't have to emanate energy to this person if you don't want to, but you certainly don't need to absorb theirs either.
That's right. That's right.
That's the whole point of the conversation.
I love us talking. I mean, what great points we're making and what great... I know everyone is just getting so much information from this. This is just a fabulous. I'm loving this conversation with the two of you.
Absolutely. Always love having you on, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, any other words of wisdom in regards to finding that inner peace that seems to elude?
Well, let's go back to are you, I want to know if you're going to be able to go in the same room with somebody with this negative energy. That's what I want to know.
I am working towards that goal.
Okay.
But what's interesting about working towards this goal is the only thing that is really making it more difficult is my ego. So I don't think in that particular relationship, I don't think my ego is completely let go. Does it make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. And let me tell you something about that ego. The ego never, ever, 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 ever does anything good. Never. It's a bad news. It never does anything good for us or our soul. That's what I think. Never.
I think there's I think you definitely have a purpose.
Yeah. What?
Go ahead, Amy.
I said I've never heard anybody say that quite like that. That's interesting. That it doesn't produce anything good.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think
It's very strong. It's very strong, and it's what I've learned. It's what I've learned. I'm talking about aligning yourself with the universe. That's what I'm talking about. The ego has no place, no home in the universe.
Interesting. So you don't think that it is a basic mechanism for being human? A tool.
It is very human. It is human. But it has what has happened is it has developed so much power.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, and overwhelming power where it can control what we do. It can control what we say. It can make us not go into a room with negative people.
Right.
So no, when you start looking at the ego, and see, this is the thing, we take the ego so seriously. It really, I do this a lot. It really is a joke, and I don't give it any power. I say, okay, this is what you want to do. You name it. You don't want to go into a room, or you don't want to talk to that person, or whatever it is your ego is telling you to do. You're going to say, oh, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to what you had to say. I'll sit here and listen, but guess what? I'm not going to act on it. That's how you take the power away from the ego. It's basically starving the ego. And when you starve the ego, let me tell you something. Oh, my God, it is going to jump up and come at you even more fierce.
Absolutely. And I find through coaching that people end up in the beginning phases of really trying to starve the ego and starve the fear monsters, what I call the emotional quagmire, the place in you that you've filled with all of this negative stuff. And you have to clean it. At some point in your life, you have to get rid of this place. But they become hungrier and hungrier and hungrier when you start letting them go and not paying as much attention to them. They scream louder, and then that's when people get scared. It's interesting because they take 10 steps forward, and they're really, really making huge strides on letting this go, and then all of a sudden they go backwards because the fear and the negative thinking and situations mm-hmm. arise that kind of trigger them going backwards, back into that fear place.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It does make sense, but I don't even think it's backwards. I think that's the natural progression of growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we go a little bit farther, and then we go a little bit back. It's just how it is to grow. Nobody grows in one straight line.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think I step backwards, and then I just discovered that's how you grow.
Right.
And that's the ease of the flow. That's what
yes.
you talk about with the flow, the ease of the flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give as much resistance, the flow is going to be easier.
That's the word I was looking for, resistance.
Resistance.
So good.
Resistance.
That's the word. So yeah. Instead of thinking of it as ego or fear-based emotions, it's resistance,
mm-hmm.
maybe?
I think it can be a lot of times.
Resisting change. Well, we resist. You know, this is another thing. Resisting anything is just
mm-hmm.
it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't, but we
no.
do.
Yeah, and we do it, but see, because we're not taught not to. We're taught to
mm-hmm.
resist everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it is all about flowing. It's just about flowing and going and just thinking of a river and can you imagine not resisting anything? That's one of my goals.
Well, isn't that what heaven is?
That's the ultimate goal. Yeah.
That is heaven. That is
you know,
heaven.
And heaven is different for all of us. We all create our own, and heaven's a word. So it's
that's
that
right.
place that where is the most comfortable for you, and it's
mm-hmm.
going to be different for every single one of us.
That's right. I love that. Of course, it's different for all of us, and that's what makes it so wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
we share where we are. Well, where are you? Well, I'm over here. Will you? We'll catch up, and I'll catch up to you. And yeah, it's wonderful
mm-hmm.
to share.
Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of us grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about things and. I think that's why men don't share enough. For some reason, they have such a resistance to sharing their feelings and sharing their path and their emotions. And, you know, that's why a lot of times women will seek out help while men won't. They just they accept what they shouldn't be accepting.
Yeah, but I also
so.
Think that's part of conditioning, too. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that's a biological tool. I think it's conditioning. I think socially we've conditioned this gap, this communication
mm-hmm.
challenge, which makes it difficult. I think, you know, the generation that's coming up now, the males, are more communicative.
Yeah,
I
totally different. Mm-hmm.
I mean, not
and
like our fathers.
Right, and they have to be. We have two income earner households now, so you have to work together to get the job done because it isn't the mother staying home, taking care of the children and taking care of the house, and the father going out to work. Both of them have to share the jobs. Which I think in a way is going to be good because, you know, they have to share every, you know, that. And that can be part of, you know, everyone sharing, you know, because it is more often enough. I mean, yes, in a perfect world, we could have it that way if that's what you want. But, you know, the way the economy is now, a lot of, you know, that's a lot of turmoil, too, is the accepting you know, of the roles, that conditioning you were talking about.
The accepting
of the role of that, you know, that the women's supposed to stay home. There are a lot of guys, I know a lot of stay-at-home dads that are great.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that, but their ego tells them that that's not a job for a man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I also think that we're in a time period where we are almost overwhelmed with access to information.
I agree.
Within this technology boom where you have an encyclopedia in your cell phone, most of us, those of us who have smartphones, you can Google anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also takes a little bit of the pressure off of raising children with this concept of right and wrong. Does that make sense?
I think
there's an evolution that's happening with this next generation because they are more communicative.
Right.
I want to throw something in because Amy used a four-letter word that I do not use anymore. Four-letter word, Amy. Four-letter word.
We only have 3 minutes. God.
Okay.
Four-letter word?
Yeah.
I
say four-letter word, you know, with quotes. It's not a four-letter word, but there's a word that I do not use anymore at all, and that is the word should.
Yes.
Don't use it. It's toxic. Thank you for the chuckle. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah. That's conditioning. It comes right out without you even knowing it.
That's right.
Just throwing that out.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the end of Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
I'm Rebecca. Yes.
And we had Rebecca Norrington on today to share just a little bit of wisdom on life and finding inner happiness and changing our words, being careful of what we say, emotional bank, taking the good and giving good. And it's been great. Rebecca's always a blast to have on. Feel free to reach out to her. She's offering private coaching sessions now. It's RebeccaNorrington.com. You can also find more information about her on blogtalkradio.com/reality spirituality.
No, I was just going to say, I actually have a direct to reality spirituality. It's just www.realityspirituality.com, and it'll take you right to Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's okay.
As always, you are a blast to have on.
Thank you.
And
love
hopefully you
can
pop back on sometime, someday, somewhere, somehow, and we can play again and
yes,
wander around the halls in our mind and
yes,
share all of this beautiful information. And as for the listeners, may you dream about a happy goat. May you know that I love you, that I think you're beautiful. You are amazing, and work on attracting positive to you, because when you do, you glow, and it's beautiful and radiant and amazing. Life is a joy, and we're supposed to be here to feel good, and working on your inner happiness feels good.
Amy is so always. I love talking to you, Amy. I mean, I love talking to Rusty, but I love your input. Yes, I do. So I'm so glad that you are on again today.
Yeah,
thank you,
Amy. I try to
make
it every week. All right, thanks. It's always a pleasure, Rebecca.
Yeah, and Rusty too. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
Okay.
And as always, everybody, I will talk to you next week, and my co-host Amy should be on too.
Yes.
I think, right?
Yes.
You're on next week? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
We have Bob Berg, author of The Go-Giver, and I highly recommend this book. It highlights everything that we talked about here today. Ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, love, and talk to you next week.
Okay. Love. Bye.
All right. have a day.